All right, well, good morning, church. Let me hear you say thanks, God, if you're excited to be here today. Wow, I'm not convinced. Let's try that again. Let me hear you say thanks, God, if you're excited to be here today. All right, amen. Well, happy Thanksgiving week, in case you didn't know. Thanksgiving is coming up this week on Thursday, so a happy Thanksgiving to all of you. I hope that you enjoy the time celebrating in the way that you celebrate and with those that you celebrate with. And just as a quick announcement, a reminder that this week would typically be a life group week. We will not be meeting in life groups this week. So just enjoy the time celebrating Thanksgiving. So the title of my lesson today is Unceasing. One word, unceasing. We're going to be looking at 1 Thessalonians 5:16 to 18, so you can turn in your Bibles over to 1 Thessalonians 5:16 to 18 in just a minute. I'm actually going to invite the kids to come up to help me demonstrate or illustrate what these verses look like to us and maybe helpful to you. And I have just three verses today that we're going to look at, which really are going to come down to three words. So with that, 3 points, 3 practicals, I have 3 pages, which should only take about 3 hours to communicate these verses. Totally kidding. Maybe 3 minutes is maybe what I should shoot for. But the sermon is about unceasing rejoicing, unceasing prayer, and unceasing thanksgiving. Which is what Paul encourages us with in 1 Thessalonians 5. And to me, that idea of unceasing, what it really boils down to is developing an unceasing orientation towards and relationship with God and His Son, Jesus Christ. So let's get into those verses. Now, if there's any kids in the house, you can come on down now. So I know Sarah's going to come up and join us, and Evie, and Audrey, and the whole crew, come on up. Give it up for the kiddos. Woo! Woo! We'll be up on stage properly, socially distancing. And we're actually going to invite everybody to stand up during this because you have a part in this as well. The kids will be leading the way and showing you what to do. All right. And did Lily want to come up too? Can somebody help Lily make her way to the stage? Woohoo! William wanted to join as well, but he's tied up back there. I'm going to go through it real quick, then the kids are going to lead the way, and we want you to follow their lead. Okay, guys, so verse 16 says, rejoice always. What do we do for rejoicing always? Rejoicing always. Okay, the next verse is pray without ceasing. What does that look like? Pray without ceasing. Don't stop. Don't stop. Don't stop. And in verse 18, give thanks. So give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Okay, now we're going to put it all together. Everybody got it out there? Okay, looking good. You think they got it? I know you have it. Let's see if they got it. Here we go. Ready? Verse 16, rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Don't stop. Don't stop praying. Don't stop praying. Don't stop praying, right? In or give thanks in all circumstances. Woo! All right, come on down, guys. Great job. Thank you for helping us out today. Yes. Yes. All right. You may be seated. All right, and that's the sermon today. Any questions, any thoughts out there? Really, anything that I say will pale in comparison to what the kids just demonstrated, but appreciate that help. We have awesome kids in this church, awesome families, so what a delight to be part of this and have them participating in the sermon. So my first point is rejoice always. As the scripture says, very simply put, rejoice always. And I say simply put, but difficult in practice. But this is what God calls us to do. At the end, remember, it says, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus, to rejoice always. And when I think of rejoicing, I think of delighting in something or celebrating something. And for Christians, this rejoicing is rooted in the knowledge of God. It's rooted in God as creator of all things. This rejoicing is rooted in the reality that God is a lover of all, as perfectly demonstrated in the giving of his son Jesus, and that it is this God who is intimately working everything out for those who love him. That is rejoicing. That is where our rejoicing is coming from. It is rooted in that knowledge, in that reality. It is the foundation of our rejoicing, which is true rejoicing. And it rests in the reality that, yes, Jesus came, died, and resurrected, and that is our destiny. That we will and are also resurrecting with Jesus Christ. And if we can just settle our minds and our spirits on that fact, on that reality, on that knowledge, rejoicing always becomes natural and routine and easy. But again, not easy in practice. You know, our day-to-day lives, and if you're anything like me, can be so detached from that reality. And even the way our minds work, think about a few of these thoughts maybe that pass through your mind. It passes through my mind. Something good happens. God blesses us with something. And we think, we'll see how long this lasts. Probably means trouble's around the corner, right? Amen. I mean, this is the stuff that can go through my mind. Or, man, things are tough right now. This is a struggle. We are in a storm in our lives. Probably just going to be like this forever. God must just be upset with me. I must have done something wrong and really made God mad. And when we step back from those things, and again, these are just normal and natural responses to things that can happen in life, day to day. But when we step back from that, we think, is this what God really, is this a true representation of who God actually is? No, but we've got to catch ourselves in those things. The other challenge, I think, sometimes with rejoicing as a Christian is we know that that's how we should be. And so we can come into these spaces with other Christians or even show up at work, perhaps, or even in our families and fake rejoicing. Because we know that's the way we should be. But inside, it's not always that way. At least it's not always that way for me. We can think things like, I know I'm supposed to be happy as a Christian, so let me just put on a face and pretend. But the scriptures don't call us to this, you know, non-difficult life, a life without challenge, without struggle. And it's really learning the I'm going through this difficulty, I'm not feeling the rejoicing on the inside. So this is one side of me, but the other side, what I can step back for a minute and remember the reality of God. And it's learning to exist sometimes with both of these things happening simultaneously. And I don't think that that is being fake. I don't think that that is being false. I think that is being an authentic Christian. We are learning to rejoice always. That's what Paul and what God is calling us to do. It's okay to have a bad day. It's okay to have a bad week, a bad month, a bad year. COVID, and even, you know, longer than a year as a Christian. It is okay and normal to struggle with joy. And for us, I mean, as I think back to the Christian life profile assessment that we did some time back, I remember joy was one of the things that we specifically struggled with as a church. That's just one of the things that we have a harder time with. And that's okay. We're learning this together. To rejoice in the big things, in the little things, to rejoice in struggle, in adversity. It's one of the biggest challenges of being a Christian. And that's okay. It's part of it. And so to move forward in this, I believe that we need to learn and practice delighting in the small things, in the micro moments of our lives, in the little challenges throughout the day, learning to practice to delight in those things. It's hard, I know. And I think if we start with rejoicing always, and that's going to be the thing that I'm going to go after, we're going to fall short and we're going to be discouraged. So start small. Start with the little things in our lives. I encourage you each day this week to just find one tiny moment, just one moment, maybe a few seconds, to just delight, rejoice over a challenge or something great that happens, and let that tiny habit become a way of being over time. That's how I believe that we come to this place of being able to rejoice always. And so, you know, that's one thing that we need to do unceasingly, but then the passage calls us to pray without ceasing, right? And I believe there's two ways to think of this. Either it's a, maybe it's both, but day to day, I'm going to pray today, and I'm not going to stop. I'm going to pray tomorrow. And if I forget to pray tomorrow or something happens, I just get, you know, bogged down by life or whatever, I'm going to get back up and pray the next day or maybe the next week. So there's that part of the passage of unceasing prayer. But I believe the other part is learning to pray moment to moment with a continual disposition and orientation towards God. That is the example that Jesus set for us. He lived his life in constant communion with God. Yeah, he was doing other things at times, but it was always within this framework and relationship with God. One of my favorite spiritual writers, St. Teresa of Avila, describes prayer in this way, or mental prayer or contemplative prayer. She says, "For mental prayer, in my opinion, is nothing else than an intimate sharing between friends." That's it. Intimate sharing between friends, an exchange, a back and forth. It means taking time frequently to be alone with him who we know loves us. The important thing is not to think much, but to love much, and to do so that which best stirs you to love. And I think about this as just unceasing prayer, is just a moment-to-moment intimate sharing between friends. Now, that's hard to get to. I mean, I think about my best friend, my wife, trying to, you know, share with her on a continual basis. Even that's challenging. I go off to work, and I'm, you know, working away, and all of a sudden it's, you know, 4 p.m. and I look at my watch and I'm like, oh my goodness, I haven't even checked in with Katie today. And so I call, perhaps reluctantly, knowing that there's probably a lot of chaos happening at home. But I call to check in, And it's just a reminder to me that that's how my relationship with God can be at times. I get going through the whole day and the day ends and I'm like, oh my goodness, I just forgot to check in with God. And that's okay. I mean, this is part of learning to pray without ceasing. And so my encouragement to all of us is to, as with the last point, just find one extra moment in your day. Just one extra moment. 1 minute counts. Even 30 seconds counts. It doesn't have to be a big, long, you know, to do with, you know, oh God, this big, long prayer to God. Just 30 seconds when you think about it. Stop. Turn your orientation, your attitude, your mind towards God. And you don't even have to say anything. Just be with God for 30 seconds. I mean, we can do that. We can do that. We can find these micro moments to be with God, to practice unceasing prayer. And then my last point, give thanks in all circumstances. And we know what giving thanks is. This one might be even clearer than the other ones. Give thanks is simply being grateful and appreciating God, His Son, His Spirit, and all that has been done, not just for us, but for all of humanity throughout history. And though this one is probably the easiest to understand in terms of what thanksgiving is or giving thanks is, this one might be the trickiest of all in my mind. Because it's really easy to give thanks to God when it's all good. When life feels great. And actually, that can be difficult sometimes. Because if everything is all good, then it's like, what, you know, why should I even think about God? Everything is all good. I got this. But it's not that easy when things aren't going our way. When we're in the midst of a struggle and a challenge, when we face something new, when we face something different that we've not experienced before, when we fail at something, when we lose someone, that can be challenging. And I don't think the expectation is, oh, well, if I failed at something, I lost someone, just be grateful. Just be grateful. Look at all the stuff you have in your life. I hope that we as Christians don't give that advice to each other, because it really dismisses our common struggle and our common humanity. That's really difficult to do. When we fail, when we lose someone, when something is really difficult and challenging, to be grateful in those situations. And we need to acknowledge that as Christians with one another. But it is an opportunity to learn to be grateful in all circumstances. You know, when I think about Thanksgiving, the holiday, it could be a mixed bag. I mean, even for myself, I love Thanksgiving. I mean, my parents used to go all out for Thanksgiving growing up. We had a lot of awesome Thanksgiving celebrations. Family would get together and we'd have all kinds of food, and I mean, it was awesome. And my dad would always do this just delicious turkey, and he'd make gravy, and we'd have mashed potatoes and stuffing. I'm just trying to prepare you for your own Thanksgiving celebration and maybe lunch in another couple hours. But anyway, but after my time at home, when I was out on my own, especially after Katie and I got married, I took on that responsibility. I'm going to make a turkey and do the gravy and mashed potatoes. And I would, every year, I would call my dad. I got the turkey. What do I do with it now? You know, I mean, I'd forget sometimes that I wanted advice from the master, from my dad. And that became such an important part of our relationship. But I can't do that anymore. And that's hard. And so Thanksgiving can be such a mixed bag. It's like, oh, it's such an awesome holiday. But then there's this, yeah, exactly, yeah, this missing piece. But what I'm learning in the midst of grief is to be grateful for Jesus' presence in that grief. And I can be grateful for that. I can be grateful for the experience of grieving, the experience that I did have with my dad. And I'm someone who, gratitude doesn't come natural for me. Some of you, I can tell, grateful is your jam. It's not mine. I can focus on what's not there, what's missing, what's absent, what's wrong. That's where my mind often goes. So I have to practice it. And I think one really simple, tried and true method or practice for becoming more grateful is just keeping a gratitude journal. Even if you have just one thing every day to write down to be grateful for, just do that. That's it. Start there. Even one counts. And I believe that practicing that consistently enables us to become more and more the kind of person that can be grateful in all circumstances. Being grateful for the great things in life, because we should be grateful for those things. But learning to be grateful for the stuff that's just so hard. The stuff that comes up that's just so challenging. And there's no explanation as for why this thing happened or why it's going on. But we can just learn to realize that God is over this situation too. And I don't mean to be dismissive. I don't mean to just say, well, that's not hard. It is. It can be. But we can learn to be grateful, even in those moments. Bitterness and cynicism are deadly. They're spiritually deadly. They can be mentally and emotionally deadly as well. But gratitude is the antidote to that. So let's practice it and use a holiday to get us focused on it and continue to practice that throughout the year. So again, as we think about unceasing, as we think about rejoicing, as we think about giving thanks, as we think about praying, bringing these things together, the whole point of these verses are that it is teaching us, directing us to be in constant communication and constant orientation towards Jesus, towards God, our Father. And so I invite us all to take one extra moment each day to just practice rejoicing, practice thanksgiving, practice praying, and watch God enable us to live and to be in unceasing relationship with Him. Amen, and happy Thanksgiving.